Welcome to the Fan Pregame brought to you by Betano. The game starts now. Ailish Warfar and Justin Cuthbert here for the next hour, and we'll be getting you set for puck drop. Minnesota Wild in town to face Toronto Maple Leafs. We got that on SportsCenter, SportsCenter 590 Advance. We'll shift over to our pregame show in about half an hour. We'll chat with Joe Smith of The Athletic, writes for The Wild. We'll get the Wild perspective of their little slump is maybe a bit exaggerated.
Yeah, I think they're slumping.
Okay, they're slumping
a little bit. Bit of a season slump.
No Kirill Kaprizov, as we know. We talked about that a couple days ago. Placed on IR for some surgery, but should be back in the lineup in a few weeks. But he's been the best player on their team, so without him, they have no Kaprizov tonight in the lineup. Maple Leafs getting a little bit healthier as well. We will bring in Gord Stellick in just a moment, but we wanted to quickly update the Utah blank name search. So officially announced about 10 minutes ago that they are fully down to three names after all these names thrown into the ring. And obviously being Utah Hockey Club right now, Utah Hockey Club is one of the three finalists, the Utah Mammoth and the Utah Wasatch.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're going to have to get full confirmation on the pronunciation once we get more information on this. But yeah, a bit of a curveball thrown with one of the three. I think a lot of people expected Hockey Club to be considered a little deeper. Mammoth was always Yeti. One that was like into it. But since they were denied Yeti, they've been forced to go in a different direction. And just like some cursory research,
it's apparently a mountain range.
Wasatch is a mountain range.
Wasatch.
Which is interesting. In that, like, there's already the Colorado Rockies and
the Colorado Avalanche,
and there is a Colorado Mammoth, too. So they're not really able to separate themselves in some ways from their neighboring state, but it feels a little uninspired, the top three choices, at least for me. What do you think?
Well, I agree. I think, so just so everyone knows, the next four home games for the Utah Hockey Club will where people will be able to vote in person, and that's the only way that this process will be completed. So no more like general audience voting. It is four games, the next four home games. They'll be able to see the name and the logo. And they're trying to keep that under wraps, but I'm sure some people will tweet a picture out. But they have the Hockey Club, the Mammoth, and the Wasatch. And the Mountain Range. The problem was I listened to about four different pronunciations on YouTube before this, and I heard Wasatch.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever, once you hear it once properly from the people that want it, we'll get it down eventually. But, you know, it's an interesting one. And they created that in honor of the idea of the mythical snow creature, so Sasquatch, so it makes you think it's Wasatch, and the Utah-centric mountain range.
A bit of a stretch, I think. Here's my idea. I think they should stick with Hockey Club and then just do the logo they were planning for the Yetis. So you're still the Yetis, and you could be unofficially called the Yetis, but you are the Utah Hockey Club. And it's sort of like Manchester United is the Red Devils, but they don't advertise Red Devils. You can't go on their website and get a T-shirt that says Red Devils. They're just Manchester United. So you could be the Utah Hockey Club. You can have the beautiful Yeti logo, and you can not have the you cannot be sued by a beverage company or whatever they call themselves.
I did like Utah Outlaws as well, but we'll see. They got three finalists here. You can text us 590-590, standard message and data rates apply. Which is your favorite preferred finalist for the Utah blanks? Let's bring in Gord Stellick, of course, to help us tee up tonight's game, Leafs and Wild. Gord, who do you like? The Mammoth, the Wasatch, or the Hockey Club?
Can you help us with the pronunciation at the very least?
I thought at first that's wasabi that you put on your sushi and that. I was a little concerned. You know, it's funny because the basketball team kept the New Orleans Jazz as the Utah Jazz, which really is out of place. So at least they didn't take the Coyotes. They want to go somewhere new. I guess that animal could be friends with the Kraken because that's kind of what they did, that mythical whatever water creature that went on. But I got to say, Justin may be on to something now about, you know, different leagues take the best of what they have. And, you know, hey, if you can be the first NHL franchise compared to a Manchester United type philosophy, I'd say go for it. So I that's fresh off my first thing. I would say I like Justin's idea.
Yeah, Hockey Club's unique and it's pretty like timeless and classy in a sense. And you can still get funky with the design, with the logo, with the mascot. So we'll see. We won't be able to vote, but we'll be able to cheer from afar. Okay, we're bringing you in, Gord. Obviously a big game tonight. Leafs hosting the Wild. But this is their only two home games until March 13th. So they got the Four Nations break, and they've got a long, long road trip ahead. Like, how hard is it to just be out of the groove for so long, knowing that tonight there's one more, and then you're really not here for a really long time?
Yeah, it's funny, Ailish, because we talk about the compressed schedule, but then also there's been long gaps as well, and I think probably a lot of it predicated about demands for the arena. So I think more in a regular 82-game season, let's face it, there's peaks and valleys, there's ups and downs, there's dog days, and you know you want to try to play your best or be motivated in the dog days. I think this is kind of it now, and you want to have a better balance of home and away. And that's something, and they didn't, you know, they haven't had like Ottawa did the World Juniors there for a period of time. So it's not ideal. So it's also important that when it's not ideal, you try to bank 2 points just like you do when you're playing an ideal schedule.
Yeah, a lot of commentary about how quiet the arena has been. Well, it's going to be pretty quiet in there all the time until March 13th with such little hockey being played at Scotiabank Arena. Okay, so it'll be Bobby McMahon expected on the top line with Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner tonight with the Wild coming through. Any surprise for you that Max Domi continues to not get this opportunity, perhaps to get his season going, but to also rekindle the chemistry that he had late last season with Auston Matthews?
Yeah, maybe a little bit of surprise would be, I've talked that I think Craig Berube, it's something I thought he did well. Again, in St. Louis, we always go to that Stanley Cup year, and then there were a lot of years after where they only won one playoff round, but you always remember that Stanley Cup year. And I thought one thing he was really adept at was, you know, figuring out, mixing it up. I think there were like 15 forwards that played in the 12 spots, and he found ways to get them in and get them on different lines, and it all came together for the playoffs. So I would see him doing that here. I thought Max Domi very capable as a last minute addition last year in Boston with his role. So I would say a little bit of surprise. I'm also bullish on Bobby McMahon, you know, tried Steve Lorenz before. So he is trying different things. Whatever they're trying, you talked about earlier, whether it's a slump, a malaise, a funk, they're definitely in it right now. And if you're one of the better teams, you got to make sure those kinds of things, whatever you want to call them, don't last as long as they did when you weren't a winning team.
Yeah, the malaise or the funk kind of feels like that midseason. But with health coming back right around the corner, Pacioretty's going to return tonight. Nyes is possible for Saturday, which is a big win against the Oilers. Tavares skating back with the team in a regular jersey. And then Stolar is supposedly to get a start before the Four Nations break. So only 2 weeks until that time. So like, what does that, when you look at the season success so far with Maple Leafs, with all the plague of injuries from Auston Matthews through everyone else, like, does it teach you something about the Leafs to be atop the Atlantic, still holding strong through all of that adversity?
You know, Ailish, I think in a lot of ways I can say yes, and I mean it, but I think sometimes we stretch that we're looking for something. Give me something. Give me a sign. How is this going to be different? Give me a regular season sign that's going to make – I don't think there's any other of the other 31 NHL teams that are in quite a similar predicament or state like the Leafs are. I'd like to think there are signs. The Craig Berube system, it seems like something, whether it's depth, whether it's a little more attention to defense – that should play better in the playoffs. I think it's also a little bit more boring when you don't have a good game. So when you lose, you go, well, it's boring. At least I'd rather lose in an entertaining fashion. I don't know. I thought that stretch they played with so many injuries. I mean, with so many forwards out of the lineup, they still had most of their key forwards. I thought that was another thing they showed, you know, to play through that. So a lot of positives. The big thing is, come on, Goaltending when it comes to the playoffs, just like pitching in baseball. When they were number one before Stolarz got injured, and if that tandem can keep them up there in the real high echelon, that would be the nicest part of this regular season that hopefully transcends into the playoffs.
Yeah, at the risk of jinxing or cursing things, like, it seems like the Leafs could be remarkably healthy heading into this break, and then, of course, they'd be healthy, even more healthy and energized if they can get through the break. I guess a couple guys are clearly playing in the tournament and it will be high level and highly contentious. So there's the opportunity, I suppose, for injury, but it does like really set themselves up to kind of reset, be healthy, almost come back like it's a training camp and just be ready for the stretch drive. Do you think the Leafs are pretty well set up with the way that this season is going from a health standpoint and what this break could provide them?
Yeah, you know, Justin, I mean, there was the mystery around Auston Matthews, and that was a concern, you know, and maybe it still is there that something tweaks and hypothetically surgery for him or somebody else is possible. You don't control that, you know, that would be unfortunate. But to your point about the state of the lineup, yeah, I view it as a positive. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is, and probably a reason Carolina made the bold trade in getting Rantanen, I do not know what has happened. There's one team, obviously the Toronto Maple Leafs, but the other 15 in the East, what the hell has happened to the East? Like, all the teams in the West now are kicking ass. Like, all of a sudden, every other team save for the Florida Panthers has come back to the pack a degree. Tampa Bay, Boston, the New York Rangers, you know, other teams that you thought were Stanley Cup contenders along with the Maple Leafs. So I think that's been one of the things you look at. You go, you know something? This year, more than I can remember, the path to the Eastern Conference Final is maybe the best that it's been in a number of years. Now, we thought that when they were in the Canadian division, if you remember, during COVID, it was that way. Unfortunately, they didn't capitalize against the Montreal Canadiens. But that, to me, is the biggest difference of the 50-game mark, that, wow, there's so many elite teams in the West, and whatever it is, the East teams have come back to the pack. And that's a great opportunity, I think, an added opportunity for the Toronto Maple Leafs to try to capitalize on.
How hard do you think the trade deadline is going to be for those teams that you mentioned? Like, there's so many people within striking distance that I don't think at this point last year it felt like, okay, if we just grab one piece or we just, you know, go all in for 1 week, we might be in the playoffs. Like, this trade deadline could be really funky, which is exciting for us who get to broadcast it, but maybe difficult for those in the GM position that have to make the decisions.
Well, you know, to have a guy like Rantanen, that's so unusual. Now, you know, Jim Rutherford's candor that it looks like one of, you know, a JT Miller or Elias Pettersson. I mean, those are huge, huge names to move in and around trade deadline. So, but, you know, what, one thing, Brad, truly, you're not going to pay a first for Ryan. We don't have firsts anymore. You've given up too many, mostly in the Kyle Dubas era. And I think the Nick Foligno kind of situation showed that year. They thought that was the final chip in the playoff against Montreal. Now, he wasn't healthy. They gave up a lot. You know, just didn't get him there. And keep in mind, in Carolina, they give up a great guy in Marty Natchez. I mean, that's a huge prospect to go the other way. But to answer your question, like, what are there? It's 10 teams fighting for three playoff spots in the East. So I still see Pittsburgh, Montreal, and Philadelphia saying, look, we'll be sellers, okay? But the other ones, you know, if you're Columbus, if you're Detroit, if the New York Rangers, like, I mean, you gotta look at any added piece that can make a difference from getting you in the playoffs. So I just find it very, very intriguing on that side about the fight for the playoffs. And then I go back to what Carolina saw, that in the East, wow, you got a chance to make hay and get the final. Meanwhile, in the West, Dallas has all kinds of cap space because of injuries. They're going to make some moves. Vegas has already made a bold move. So there's a lot of balls that are churning. And I don't know. It's kind of like real estate at different times. It seems right now in real estate, there is the supply, but not the demand. You know, for a lot of years, there was the demand, but not the supply. And I think that could be the case heading into trade deadline, which should bode well if you're a seller.
We are on the line with Gord Stellick ahead of Wednesday night hockey, the Maple Leafs, and visiting Minnesota Wild. You mentioned balls in the air in the NHL, balls in the air too for the Four Nations and Hockey Canada specifically, with Alex Pietrangelo bowing out, allowing room for one more defenseman of Canadian heritage to involve themselves in the tournament. I guess a two-part question. Your thoughts on Pietrangelo deciding to not play despite being healthy enough to play games for Vegas, and who would you lean in terms of your fill-in candidate?
Yeah, that word ailment is an interesting one. And I'm glad there's not been a groundswell that the day after that, somebody else had an ailment and somebody else had an ailment. I mean, you look at Miro Heiskanen last night for Dallas, you know, Team Finland. I mean, that's a real concern. I mean, there's Markstrom, you know, there's real injuries in that regard. So I'm glad to see that there wasn't kind of a groundswell, that some 11th hour decision saying the Olympics are one thing, but the Four Nations, I could, you know, give or take it. So, you know, Drew Doughty has played, excelled, love it. Loved his style, international play. He was the one guy who kind of said when Mike Babcock had the shut it down one, and they did win, Drew Doughty said, screw it, I'm going to play my way. And he was really a difference maker in that gold medal. So I'm always big on him. I don't know how many games it would take to get him in the lineup. I just think you can't pass him up if he's in game shape. Otherwise, it's a guy in Toronto, Chris Tanev, who's just shown he is as good a defensive defenseman as there is in the NHL, and that's kind of more along the lines of what Pietrangelo does. So those would be my – I know people talk about Mackenzie Weegar. These all seem they have choices. Maybe Evan Bouchard, I don't know. But those are my top two picks.
Morgan Rielly wasn't among those that you mentioned, and Morgan Riley's not getting much play lately despite being, I guess, on the short list when talking about this tournament in advance. He He's not having, frankly, a very good year. There is some concern about whether or not he's going to turn things around, like he always seems to do in time for the Stanley Cup playoffs. But how do you evaluate his season, and what's your concern level about the idea of him just like snapping to when it matters most and playing real good hockey, at least down the stretch and into the playoffs? And I guess the other part of that is, do you expect the Maple Leafs to go out and get someone for him to play with to potentially balance his game?
Yeah, the last part's interesting. Like, I'm very bullish on Morgan Rielly, a big supporter of Morgan Rielly's. But it's funny, you know, with what happened, Connor McDavid's suspension, you always think about the outcries when something happens. And last year, Morgan Rielly's suspension, the whole town was on buzz. Like, it was like waiting for the jury to give the verdict. And everyone's going, oh, he got 5 games. He got 5 games. Well, this year, it's going, what the hell's going on with Morgan Rielly? Is mostly what people, you know, and he's had that, whether I don't want to call it inconsistent, but times where he's really excelled and others where he's been more on the ordinary side. And he's had more of that, I think, this year. About, you know, we all know what the Luke Shen situation a couple of years ago, how well he fit with Rielly. It's something you try to do. But when you're the top paid on defenseman on a team, everyone should be fitting with you, right? You should be putting someone with you to up their game. So I, you know, it's about making a deal predicated on playing with Morgan Rielly. You know, that's not ideal, but they'd be looking at all different kind of options. I'm big on him coming up big, like he has so many times over the years, but you're right. So far, it's as far as Morgan Rielly's grades go, it's been on the more ordinary side.
Joining Gord Selick ahead of Wild and Leafs on Wednesday Night Hockey. I want to ask you about Brandon Saad. He was terminating his contract with St. Louis Blues, so he's going to become a free agent. And a lot of interest around him. He's a proven winner. He's also got a relationship with Craig Berube. I wonder if you think the Leafs should, you know, kick tires on potentially if financially it works out for him, because he was a guy making $4 or $5 million at least. So we'll
see. He's scrapping $5 million basically
to
become a
free agent. Now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Ailish, boy, I wonder, does he have a financial advisor? I'm saying that, but also I'm giving him credit. You know what? I'm giving him credit. The Dover AME, he's got a lot of money, right? He's not going to come close to making, I guess it's $5.4 million over the rest of this year and next year. He's not going to come close to that, but he flat out just wants to play. And, you know, you look at Oliver Ekman-Larsson, a role in Vancouver he wasn't suited to. Then he goes to Florida on a lower contract and kind of reinvents himself to a degree. And look what he's done in Toronto, big time, you know, just that. And that's, I think, what players are looking for, a second chance to do that. You bring up an interesting point that, you know, Craig Berube was a positive relationship for him. So I think that's the kind of, you know, depth, deadline pickup the Leafs certainly could get and would be looking at.
All right, Gord, we kept you away from dinner for too long. I appreciate you jumping on. Enjoy the game. We'll chat soon.
Well, always great. Yeah, and I'm eating less at dinner right now, too, so that's good. So I have more time.
No Chinese food tonight? Every time Gord comes in the studio.
No. Gosh, that's right. I got a bad reputation around you. No, a little healthier tonight, Ailish.
Good for you, Gord. You enjoy. We'll chat soon. Thanks so much. That's Gord Selick, former Maple Leafs GM with SiriusXM NHL Radio and here at Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Brandon Saad is a very interesting situation. You know, I think the Maple Leafs obviously will probably kick tires. Why wouldn't you? But if you're giving up money, what do you want in return? Probably to play for a team that has Stanley Cup pedigree like the Leafs.
Yeah.
And find a fit.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't know that for sure because he just wants to play. Does he want to play for a team that has a chance to win a Stanley Cup? Probably, but can he have the best of both worlds? I'm not really sure. I'd be lying if I said I knew like the extent of his game right now, because he's frankly not getting that much opportunity. And you just don't see too much of Brandon Saad. He's not having a good year, at least statistically. But to leave upwards of $5.5 million on the table, guaranteed money, he must have some conviction that he can give something to a team. Again, the St. Louis Blues are not in a position necessarily where they'd be competing for a Stanley Cup. They got an outside chance of making the playoffs and maybe doing something, but it seems like a bit of a perplexing move, and only Craig Berube would have a deeper understanding of his game as pretty much anyone else. So maybe there is interest there, but with Max Pacioretty coming back in, it kind of fills that void of a guy who can give you a little bit.
Is Cali Yarncroke going to play for this team ever?
Who knows, but I would put him in a bit of a different tier, but Saad is in the, okay, you used to be a productive guy, you're having to change your game to a certain extent. And the Leafs kind of already have that guy in Max Pacioretty, who they're hoping can maybe score some big goals for them in key moments. I think they would probably be too much of that one thing
bringing
Brandon Sutter.
No, that makes sense. And Max Pacioretty's returning to the lineup tonight after a couple games absence after getting that puck in the head. So we'll see what his game looks like tonight, and we're going to do our full 30-minute pregame show on the other side of the break. But tonight, we mentioned we got Minnesota and Toronto on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan, but Sportsnet 1 has a great doubleheader for you for hoops. We got Raptors and the Wizards at 7 p.m. Okay, let's talk about the Raptors and the Wizards, because Wizards have 6 wins this year, the whole basketball season.
6 wins in 45 games.
The Raptors have 6 wins in their last 7 games. It's going to be interesting.
Ethical tanking versus unethical
tanking. Yeah, and Raptors have the easiest remaining schedule in the NBA. We know that. They're going to play, I think, the Wizards like 4 times.
Yeah, this is the first of 4 meetings with Washington. And again, they're in a really rough spot. Lost 14 in a row. Have once won on the road. That makes no sense coming out of my mouth. They have 1 win on the road this year, and they're going to be on the road tonight in Toronto. They just get blown out every single night, it seems. Their average loss is 14.5 points. It's just been a really, really rough go for Washington, and they're plus 6.5 on the road in Toronto tonight. So I'm going with the Raptors. I won't lay the points. I'll lay it with the Raptors, minus 6.5, minus 105 on Betano. I think one team, again, I don't really know how much the players have to do with wins and losses, at least in terms of like the conscious aspect of tanking. The Raptors, though, aren't clearly not thinking about that. They're playing pretty
good basketball
given what they have at their disposal. They're trying to win games. I can't confidently say the same about the Wizards, who just cannot even be remotely competitive on the road or in general. So I'll take the Raptors to win as pretty sizable dogs, as big as favorites as they're probably going to be all season, aside from the other times they meet Washington, I guess.
Yeah, and there's a couple Raptors playing for a little bit of a showcase moment too, right? Maybe they want to get their trade value up. Maybe they want to get their solidify their spot with this team. So I think the Raptors are playing good basketball, and they'll probably be able to beat this team that has 6 wins all season long. So I'm doing something similar. I'm doing the Toronto homers parlay. I got the Leafs and the Raptors parlayed in mind. So Leafs are their favorites around minus 170. Last time I checked on Betano, and then I'm going to put the Raptors on the spread as well, just because they were such heavy favorites on the money line. So you parlay those up. That's plus 140. It's just good. Maybe a good night for Toronto.
Okay, we're in the same boat tonight. If you had to choose between the Utah names, where are you leaning?
You know what
again,
I'll say.
To recap, Hockey Club, Mammoth, Wasatch?
I think Wasatch is the appropriate way to say it.
That's the top three.
I actually think Hockey Club has really grown on me.
I just don't like it because I don't know what to say.
Like Utah HC.
I know, but like when you're rhyming off names, you're like, okay, the Bruins, the Maple Leafs, and the Hockey Club. That part of it just like doesn't work for me.
Well, I think Mammoth would be the best aesthetically if you wanted to have a really cool mascot, like a big fuzzy mammoth walking around. You could have an awesome logo with the big mammoth horns, probably called.
How is there no tusks. Copyright infringement there when there's literally
we did look that up too, right?
The Colorado Mammoth exists.
And it looks pretty similar, but I guess it's fine. I don't know. It's not the Yeti coolers. I think each has their own.
It's a big company.
They each have their own selling factor. The Wasatch, you know, there's no copyright there. The mountain's not going to sue you. And I guess once you get the pronunciation of it, like, it's pretty unique. They could do the Sasquatch, Wasatch.
But then it's still not really what they're called, right? It's like the Colorado Rockies, and they've nailed the Rockies like motif thing. It looks good, it works, but then it's just the exact same thing, just with a weirder, more obscure name. And it's like, how are you going to make that your own? I'm not really sure.
It'll be interesting. So there's, if you missed the beginning of the show, fans in person for the next 4 games have the opportunity to vote on the final 3 names: Hockey Club, Mammoth, Wasatch, and they're going to be able to see the name and logo somehow privately, that it's not going to get leaked on the internet. We'll see about that. And that starts as early as their first home game. They get all those done, and then that's how we're deciding. So if you're a fan, like, you got to get there and vote.
The logos will help this. If the Utah Hockey Club logo is just like HC.
No, I think they could make something fun out of
it. Like, it would have to be something more than that.
They're spending a lot of money. I hope they hired some creative designers. Anyway, we'll see.
It's been a minute, too. Like,
take a 4 games to figure it out, and then they'll make us wait. So we'll be back on the other side. That was the Fan pregame brought to you by Betano. The game starts now.